Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 106 of Tatooine Sons. We've spent the last several episodes talking about the big Force users in Star Wars, but it's easy to forget that the Jedi and the Sith are just one part of the galaxy far, far away. This week we're discussing some of our favorite characters with low midichlorian counts, plus hot takes, parole results, and more.
What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
All right.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father, sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and joined first by my brother, Samuel Lott.
A cheer to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you may not realize that non-Force users are important, too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Non-Force users are people, too.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Not even close, but okay, we'll go.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad's bow tie joint.
What's up? How's it going, guys?
Fine.
Fine. That's it. All right. Good show.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Busy.
Been busy at school. Yeah. College.
Yeah.
Getting ready to head to Orlando for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not going to go to Galaxy's Edge.
It's like, what's the point?
This is madness.
It's literally like a 36-hour trip to go down there and tour University of Central Florida. So mm-hmm. That'll be good. I just got back from Nicaragua. That was kind of fun. Yeah. So. I was one of the first five non-Nicaraguans to have ever entered a certain village that we went to.
That's pretty cool.
With it. It was pretty awesome. So.
Very cool.
That was a lot of fun. Cool. So. What else has been going on in your world? That was a fast banter section.
There's not much. Yeah, it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Lots of school, lots of studying. That's about it.
School, study, sleep. And you throw on some video games and stuff.
Yeah, occasionally.
You went hiking this weekend.
That's true.
Tell us about the hiking.
That was fun. I tried to kill everyone.
Whoa, that's bad.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I just took everyone off the beaten path down the hill, and so we eventually were not on a path at all, and we're just going down like a water runoff. So it was a little sketchy, but it was fun.
Everybody survived?
Yeah, everyone survived.
Nobody turned an ankle or anything like that?
I know of.
That you know of?
But it was fun.
So you've been sick for over a week?
Yeah, almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
You get that coronavirus?
Do you have the coronavirus on that?
Yeah, I'm sure I do. I have a common cold.
No, we're not going to go down that path. So. All right. Well,
yeah.
Fun.
You know, normally this is where we like spend a couple minutes, if we can, to talk about reviews.
But no reviews.
But there are no reviews.
I know, and it makes me sad.
It does.
I'm sad too.
So let's just take a second to explain kind of what's been going on with the show, because this is all, you know, we're the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. And this will be our sixth episode. So obviously we're not getting them done weekly.
No.
Right.
At this point. And we're trying to get back on track with it. But I'm traveling all over. You're doing college. You've been sick. You know, we're like, taking it easy. We're making it fun. But we've got some fun stuff that could potentially be coming down the pike.
Yeah.
The pike or the pipe?
Pipe, I think.
I think it's the pipe.
I don't think anyone really cares that much.
Yeah, but that's going to be pipe for me.
I have spoken.
So, we'll hopefully have some fun stuff that's coming down on that. Not doing the Patreon thing right now, so we've got that turned off. Accidentally had a few of you guys that were our Patreon supporters got charged in February. I have messaged you and asked for some feedback as to how to get that back to you. And I've only heard from one of our amazing listeners, Rick. And Rick said, just donate that to some charity of your choice.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Cool. Great job, Rick.
And the anything else, he was the first person to let me know about one of the anything else topics, which...
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's cool. which one is it? Are we going to tell me? You know? Anyway.
Did you, in theory, donate that to your work?
Oh, yeah. Well, I absolutely could. It's a nonprofit, and it's charity, and I believe in it. It's my charity of choice. So
there you go.
Yeah. So I'm gonna,
all works out.
I'm gonna donate it to help kids in Nicaragua. That live in really hard conditions, extreme poverty. So, yeah. Hopefully we can do that. So,
cool.
Awesome.
All right.
So, I guess we'll go ahead. What? You got one more thing?
No.
No?
Making sure you get this right.
Oh. So, let's talk about last week's, but it's technically kind of this week's because it just happened yesterday. Poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
BB Nate knows the exact tone and timing of every quote within that. He was like,
I think we all do.
Yes. No! Yeah, anyway, so yesterday we threw up a poll just talking about our last episode, which was about Ray's hero's journey, which is definitely a different type of a hero's journey.
Definitely.
As we discussed that. What's the critical moment in Ray's hero's journey? Was it confronting Kylo and TFA? Was it rejecting Kylo and TLJ? Was it sparing Kylo and T-Ross? Or other comment below. What did you guys say when we talked about this a couple weeks ago?
I do not remember.
Me either.
All right, that's good.
I would probably say
sparing Kylo.
Yeah,
like not killing him.
Yeah.
on Death Star 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on that spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen,
if you're listening
to the Star Wars podcast in March, 3 months after the Rise of Skywalker, you've probably seen the movie.
And if not,
I did know some. Well, at least somebody on Facebook said that they just watched it a couple days ago.
Really?
In theaters.
Very cool.
In theaters, it's still there.
Yeah, it is.
You could go see it. Now that No Time to Die isn't going to be coming till November or something like that.
Which disappoints me.
Because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Got all the movies, watched them because it's coming out in April and it's going to be November. But apparently that's the normal month for these movies to come out. So.
Maybe the coronavirus is really just a big marketing campaign to draw attention to No Time to Die.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I have spoken.
So, anyway, all right, let's talk about the poll. What's a critical moment in Ray's hero's journey? 2 hours and 120 votes. That's how long the poll was. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, so we had 4.2% said other comment below. We'll read some of those comments in a moment. Mm-hmm. Next was confronting Kylo in The Force Awakens. So that's like on Starkiller Base. Mm-hmm. Then we had a really close one. Between the next two, 40.8% got sparing Kylo and T-Ross, and a whopping 42.5% got rejecting Kylo in The Last Jedi.
So you're saying that a lot of people voted for The Last Jedi?
Well, you know, if they're listening to our show and following us on social media, then The Last Jedi is there. Yeah. So let's talk about what you guys thought about
it. Yeah, so first comments from Beyond the Outer Rim, a Star Wars podcast.
Love those guys.
Yeah,
at show, Outer Rim really.
Podcast.
Yeah.
They said choosing to leave Octu and T-Ross as well.
That was one I had not thought about. Yeah, that moment where she like makes her decision.
Yeah.
Which we talked about, that's like where she, you know, she picks up the sword.
Yeah.
In the hero's journey is Leia's sword. I thought that was good. You should probably do the next one.
I should, because it's Nathan Kench.
Nathan!
They made it really easy with the same Twitter handle. So that's
good.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Being rejected by Luke, which Yeah, I think that's pretty.
It is an important moment. Yeah, where she decides she's going to go and she's gonna try to do what she has to do, even though Luke's not coming with her. Mm-hmm. On that, that was a good one. And then we had Jack. I was thinking okay? Goldsworthy, and I started to get things all confused. Jack Goldsworthy at Jack Goldsworth 5.
Great.
Easy. Cool. Refusing to strike Palpatine down in anger on that. What do you guys think about the last
that's, one? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's all like what happened with Luke at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
Was that?
Rise of Skywalker. Return of the Jedi. It's kind of like Luke deciding not to.
There is that moment.
Yeah.
And it, and there, you know, now that we think about it, Palpatine is her grandfather, so it's like not killing
your grandfather.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
Well, Luke was not killing his father.
Yeah.
So that's a very
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe we'll get this week's poll up before, like, the day before we record.
That'd be good.
Like, yeah, 2 hours
before. Somebody remind me of that, one of you two?
Which one? No.
Which one are you going to commit to reminding me?
Not me.
I'll try.
All right. There we go. All right. Well, it's the end of an era at Disney.
Oh.
What's that mean for Star Wars? We finally know what Project Luminous is. And is Season 7 of The Clone Wars everything we hoped it would be? It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, this one's from good old CNN.com.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not politics, so they're probably getting it right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking. Right?
I like to, I got a notification for this, and I was a little surprised when I heard about it.
Uncle Bob is leaving Disney.
Well, in 2021.
Well, it's going to be a little bit. Yeah, so according to CNN.com, this is what they wrote. The man who may be the second most important person in the history of Disney behind only Walt himself.
Yeah.
Is stepping down. Bob Iger has stepped down as CEO of the Walt Disney Company, effective immediately. Bob Chapek is the new CEO, the board of directors announced on Tuesday. He most recently served as chairman of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products. Maybe he will listen to our show and give us free tickets.
Turbis? Make a Turbis merch?
I was just going to ask him to invite us to the Galaxy's Edge when we were down in Florida.
That too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he listens to this.
I'm sure he does, yeah. Iger has assumed the role of executive chairman and will direct the company's creative endeavors, the company said. Iger will stay on at Disney through the end of his contract on December 31st, 2021. That's what you were saying, BB&A. But Samuel Hutt, what's this mean for the happiest place on Earth, and more importantly, Star Wars. A galaxy far, far away?
I don't know. Initially, I'm nervous about it, just because it's, you know, he's been CEO for a while.
Long time.
He's done, I think, a pretty dang good job.
Well, yeah, we watched that Imagineering series on Disney Plus. And it really talks about how he kind of righted the ship at Disney. They were kind of all screwy for a while there.
Yeah.
And he kind of brought it back in and kind of focused it back on Walt's vision.
Got California Adventure to where it is today. It was weird.
Yeah, so I'm just nervous that this new guy...
Bob Chapek.
Chapek. It's another Bob, though.
Yeah. It is another Bob. So we have a new crazy Uncle Bob.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, that feels so better already.
It's a little bit.
Yeah. We still get to keep a crazy Uncle Bob.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, I'm just nervous that... I'm sure he will certainly try, and I'm sure he'll do fine, but I'm just nervous that the vision might get skewed slightly with a new person. So,
well, this guy's been in charge of the parks for quite a while
Does
now.
Does that
so what do you
Galaxy's
think?
Edge?
Oh, yeah. What do you think about this idea, BB Nate? Does it make you nervous? Are you excited about it? Do you think it's not going to make much of a difference at all?
I'm not nervous about it. A new CEO has always brought something new to the table and totally changed Disney for history. So I'm wondering what this one's going to be. But Bob Iger really put a lot on his plate in turning him now, because Epcot's getting totally remade. And
well, I mean, it's almost appropriate, though, that the guy who would head the parks would now.
Yeah, but
company
movies are being made, and he makes the decisions if they get delayed or not, and... So there's a lot that's going on.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I've read some comments on social media of people that are suggesting that it's not a good move because he doesn't have any history with movies and such. But I don't think Bob Iger... Did Bob Iger have a background?
No. Yeah, what was Bob Iger's background? He was. He worked in a different studio on that, so...
I'm not sure. I don't remember hearing anything about that in the Imagineering thing, because they talked about him.
But yeah, I think so. I'm going to talk amongst yourselves.
Spaceship Earth is getting closed down, so that's pretty sad.
Oh, tell me, is that the main thing?
Yeah. Are they going to be changing it to something else?
No, they're totally taking it down.
They're taking the golf ball down?
No, they're not taking the golf ball down. They're just not doing it right anymore. I don't know why, but...
I think they're going to update it, because a lot of what was in it was like the 50s and 60s technology talking about the future, which isn't...
Yeah, they may be relevant, but it's closing soon, so...
Yeah, because technology's progressed so much, and our idea of the future is very different
than... Yeah, but Epcot's getting a new walk-in, their Tron ride's coming, so it's going to be a lot that's going
to
be...
So Bob Iger actually was the head of ABC Television before he went to Disney.
So kind of movies?
He's got a background in film. In media and entertainment.
But Walt didn't have a background in movies, he just animated stuff.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting, do you think it's going to make any impact on Star Wars as a franchise? Do you think that... Because one of the criticisms of Bob Iger has been sort of over-promising and under-delivering when it comes to the Star Wars franchise. He pushed for Solo to come out in May when everybody wanted it to get... Everybody at Lucasfilm wanted it to be delayed because of Ron Howard having to take over and all of that. What do you think that... This is actually that Bob Chapek might be a little bit more hands off because he doesn't have a media background, and he let Kathleen Kennedy and let the leadership at Lucasfilm do what they need to do with these films.
Yeah, I was gonna say I hope he lets Kathleen and all of Lucasfilm kind of just do their thing. I mean, definitely he needs to have a play in things, but I think for the most part he should accept the fact that they probably know what they're doing and that's why they're there and let them do their thing. And I'm not meaning to say that
in I understand that
negative way. I just think they know what they're doing. That's their job, so let them supervise, but let them do their thing.
Yeah, and I mean, he must know a little bit about Star Wars. He did have to oversee the biggest single theme land expansion
that's true
Disney Park history, and it was Star Wars, so he had to really make sure that was all correct.
And he probably worked pretty closely with Lucasfilm on that. So.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'm sure he did, yeah.
But Kathleen's contract also goes up in 2021, so...
Uh-oh.
Wow. Is it Dave Filoni?
I'll take over.
Oh, yeah. You think Dave Filoni comes in next? That's a lot of people... I don't think it'll ever happen, but...
No, but I wouldn't mind it.
I don't think anyone would mind that.
He'd be fun. He's the...
Everyone likes
modern Dave. George Lucas.
Which could really be good and bad.
Yeah.
So...
That's true.
But I don't think any of the stuff he's come up with...
has been like Crazy Uncle George weird,
No. I mean, they've been weird.
He's done weird stuff, but not like creepy.
Yeah, I mean, some of season 6 was pretty weird on Clone Wars.
Yeah, but it wasn't like bad.
Well, let's talk about the future of Star Wars a little bit more. Lucasfilm is launching Star Wars The High Republic publishing campaign in 2020. This is straight from StarWars.com. Later this year, Lucasfilm will launch an epic new era of Star Wars storytelling that will be explored through multiple voices in adult and young adult novels, children's books, and comics from a variety of publishers, including Disney, Lucasfilm Press, Del Rey, IDW Publishing, which we have a special place in our hearts for because of Turbis. Marvel comics, right? Mm-hmm. Star Wars: The High Republic, which was previously referred to as Project Luminous. Luminous beings we are.
Okay.
You like that? That was good.
No.
It was close, wasn't it? It was all right.
Yeah.
On the spur of the moment. Yes. Where were we? We'll be set in an era when the Galactic Republic and the Jedi Order are at their zenith. About 200 years, somebody needs to correct me on this, I've been saying 400 to 500 years, about 200 years before the events of Star Wars The Phantom Menace. Let me finish reading, and you can raise your hand when it's your turn. This period of the Star Wars timeline will not overlap any of the filmed features or series currently planned for production, giving creators and partners a vast amount of room to tell Star Wars stories with new adventures and original characters. BB Nate, it's your turn to go first. Put your hand.
What's the zenith?
Like the peak, the high point.
Okay, I'm good. Go ahead.
And a TV manufacturer in the 60s and 70s.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Nate, go.
BB Nate, how does this change the way
Well, I didn't change this one. That's it. The questions from last week. BB Nate, how does this change the way we see Kylo Ren?
Impressive.
Well, there was a cross guard lightsaber. So.
There we go. No, what do you think about the High Republic? You tell us about you. We were talking about it earlier. Explain waiting for it and all that.
I was. Sammy was at his Bible study, and Mom and I were. You were.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
There we go.
So we were sitting on the couch, and I was desperately waiting for 8 o'clock, because that's when it was supposed to happen, and it was like 5 minutes away, and I was really excited, kept refreshing, and then 25 minutes later, the event actually started, they were late, but it was a fun waiting and waiting.
What'd you think about it when you watched the video itself and all that?
I thought it was going to be interesting. And I mean, the question that was brought up was, that started the whole thing, was what scares a Jedi? And I think that that's an interesting way to go into the series.
What scares a Jedi? I don't remember that.
Yeah, they talked about that.
So what'd you think about it when they announced this Project Luminous is now the High Republic era?
Oh, I'm super excited about that. I think we kind of all had thought that they were going to go back into that time period. I think the big idea was that Lord Miller would be doing something with that. Or not Lord Miller. Benioff and Weiss.
Well, no, they were doing a movie. This is saying it's not going to overlap anything with movies.
Like, they were going to go and venture into that sort of era.
Okay. Let's establish something, though. This 200 years before, Phantom Menace is not the Old Republic.
No, I'm not saying Old Republic. I'm just saying, well before the movies were.
Okay.
That era. Okay. Era. No, it's my turn. You don't get to raise your hand. But I was really excited, and I like the fact that the Republic isn't fully established across the galaxy, so there's still some Wild West aspects. So, from what I'm gathering, it's going to be a sci-fi, fantasy, space, western.
I love that idea.
Like, you're going to have Knights of the Round Table, along with cowboys, space and probably fans. Some, dragons, and, and then it's all in space with laser guns and stuff.
Lightsabers.
Right. That's like everything you want.
We've got to talk about a few things, though. So, first of all, the villains they describe them as space Vikings, and they're called the Niles, which is really weird, and there's going to be a whole comic about them. I think Marvel's doing those.
Nice.
Second, lightsabers, very strange. They have white ones and black ones. Dark sabers.
Interesting.
Really? Some Jedi's are using
some of them those. Even have cross guards, but they're not blades. No. The cross guard isn't a blade.
There's somebody that has a saber fork, two prongs that don't go Ray's and T-Ross.
No, was this all on the video?
No, this was on a
concept art.
On a concept.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the concept
art. And there's one little thing that might make us at least happy.
Wait.
No, not porks. It is an animal.
This is where the fun begins.
Loaf wolves.
Oh, that's
nice.
Right. I did see that.
That is Dave Filoni getting a chance to have some.
I'm excited about that, because then we'll actually learn why they're so force sensitive and what they are.
Yeah.
Nice. The loaf wolves from the end of Rebels.
So
I'm pumped. That's cool.
You know, it's generally a publishing thing, but they said it's going to be over many mediums. Do you think they will ever, the way they explained it in the video almost made it seem like this is a trial run to see how people like it. So do you think that if this is received well, they might venture into a TV series of some sort in this era?
Oh yeah, you never can predict exactly what's going to happen. If something is if it's popular and it's a moneymaker, then there's a strong possibility it could expand into other things. So
yeah.
Would you like to see a TV show set in this time period?
Of course.
I don't know
yet.
A movie
or something.
I want to read the books and such. So.
Well, the first wave is going to be coming out at Celebration.
Oh, in August.
I don't know. It might be the two or three of the books, but the only one that's coming out in August is The Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. So.
Ooh, is it a comic or is it a book?
It's a book.
Charles
Soule. A book by Charles Soule. He did the Dark Vader. Lord of the Sith. Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith.
Yeah. And then they're going to be releasing over, I think, 4 months each genre. I think the first one's going to be young adult or teens or something like that. And then it's going to have middle school, child, and then
Cool.
Adult, which very is cool.
Does you think this will get you guys into reading more of the novels and comics? Do you think you're going to like jump in to this?
Audiobooks.
Audiobooks?
Yeah,
you want to get like an Audible subscription or something like that?
Maybe something like
that. Well, only two of the books are going to be books.
It's a lot cheaper to buy the Audible. I guess, yeah, the comics and stuff, you can't.
I'll read, but most of the time I don't have time to just sit there and read a book. So when I'm like doing stuff, going around, I listen to an audiobook real quick.
Yeah.
That's cool. But
I do.
And I like it better.
What's that?
I do have time to read, so I'm.
So you're going to jump in.
Oh, yeah,
you're
going to have fun with it.
We should all like pick different elements of the High Republic.
We all do the age.
I can see you doing the comic stuff because you love, that's your thing. Like, comics is a big deal to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the younger adult stuff for you because it's, I don't know.
I like a good book.
So, anyway.
We'll see.
Yeah, anyway.
We'll have to see what comes out.
The Clone Wars is back.
Yeah.
And it's as good as ever.
We might touch into spoiler territory here.
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit of spoilers if you haven't seen them. So. Again, StarWars.com. We're going to just sort of give our reactions to the first two episodes of Season 7. First episode's called Bad Batch, Rex, Cody, and Clone Force 99. An unorthodox elite squad, also known as the Bad Batch, look to recover the Republic's strategy algorithm from Admiral Trench. But a haunting truth awaits.
What
are you saying? So, favorite moments from Bad Batch. We'll talk about the next one in a minute. Favorite moments from Bad Batch.
Like the showcasing of Clone Force 99. I thought that was really cool because I've been wanting to see them since Celebration and more action. And it was just really cool to see. Nate and I both had noticed though when we were watching it. They're very similar to Delta Squad from Clone Commando. Republic Commando. Goodness. Yeah, from Republic Commando. It's very similar to that squad.
As far as just like, that's a game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like they've each got their individualized tasks, but in this, they've actually got physical mutations that makes them different. So it's cool. I really liked it.
It was fun. Yeah. I mean, the story of it was pretty, it was just fun. Not too heavy the first episode, except for that big reveal at the end.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Just go in there. Go to the big reveal.
Well, Echo was still alive, kind of. We didn't really know that. And it was just very interesting that from season 3 they brought something back.
Yeah, the thing was, is it was tough for me because I did not remember that at all.
Yeah, that's the problem when you binge watch for like 12 hours a day Clone Wars episodes. Things start to become like...
Just for another animated series that you want to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So it was Rebels. We did it for Rebels.
We didn't binge watch it as much, though.
No. But...
Oh, we did it for watch. Oh, right, for Star Wars Rebels. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't remember that whole episode, and I had a tough time remembering who the heck Echo was in the first place. So that was a little tough for me, but, you know, most of, like, the huge fans would, like, know who that is immediately and were, I'm certain, absolutely shocked. So,
yeah, I mean, I went back while I was flying back and forth to Nicaragua. Watched some Clone Wars episodes, ARC Trooper, that group with Heavy...
Domino Squad?
Domino Squad, yeah. Yep. The Domino Squad ARCs. I watched some of those episodes and kind of reconnected with who Echo was. I did not watch the episode where he dies, though. That's the one with Steven Stanton playing Tarkin, right?
Yeah,
that's the Citadel mm-hmm. ARC, yeah. So I didn't watch that, but yeah, what'd you think about the big ending when we find out that it's potentially Echo is back, is alive again, and like feeding information to the Separatists and strategies with it?
It's pretty scary to think about that. You know, they can just capture clones and force them in a sense to give up their plans. So it kind of changes the way that you see like the Separatists and how they function. You know, it's not less just a bunch of bumbling idiots and almost like, oh wow, they kind of got a little bit of a strategy here. So,
BB Nate, which one of the Bad Batch is your favorite?
Ah, that's difficult.
So we've got Crosshair, we've got Tech. Breaker. Is it Breaker?
Wrecker.
Wrecker, Crosshair, Tech, and Hunter.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is your favorite? If you had to pick one, come on, BB Nate, you got to make a decision right now. This is BB Nate's heart. Like, this is his nightmare, having to make a decision on the spot. Go. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Which one are you going to pick?
Don't get cocky.
I don't
know. All right, Samuel.
Crosshair.
Crosshair, why?
Oh, I've always loved the snipers and things. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it was he's a fun character and interesting idea. I love the sharpshooters in different shows. Kind of backtracking a bit, but one thing Nathan and I noticed is, and this is like prevalent in a lot of pop culture and things, is this group, you'll have this group of individuals who are wildly different, but when they're put together, they
complement each other.
Yeah. Literally Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, the Fellowship of the Ring, those are just the two that come to mind first. There's plenty. Like, the Avengers. Like, you know, all sorts of stuff. Like, people, I don't know why, but, like, with the Rebels, I'm just looking at that. You know, like, people love it when you have, like, all these individuals when they come and they come together to form this group, great team. I've just noticed it's very common in pop culture, which I thought was cool. So that's one of the reasons why everyone likes this, I feel like people would like this Clone Force 99 or whatever. Yeah. So.
And, you know, tying that into what we always do at the in the main topic, as we've kind of shifted the show, the greater story there. You know, that's what like it says in the Bible about, you know, those people in God's kingdom. You know, you can't have it. It describes us as a body. Mm-hmm. Right, and it says, you know, the head can't, or the eye can't say to the foot, "I don't need you," and that kind of situation, that we're all supposed to be working together. It's this idea that we know in reality that when we work together, we accomplish so much more
through our differences
than we're apart. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the next one, A Distant Echo, which was the second episode of the season. Believing that MIA soldier Echo may still be alive, Rex's mission becomes doubly important. Alongside Bad Batch and Anakin Skywalker, the clone captain launches a dangerous covert rescue. Before we get into our favorite moments, BB Nate, which I'm going to have you start with, I have a confession.
Okay.
I fell asleep 10 minutes into this episode because I was so tired from flying all over the world that I literally fell asleep, and I had to like review it the next day and make sure I understood what happened. I'm so embarrassed by that. So hold on.
Let me disappointed.
BB Nate, what was your favorite moment in that episode? What were some of your favorite moments?
Well, definitely the end. That was surprising and sad, depressing. There was a lot of emotions in this episode, but Echo is still alive, and he has been Darth Mauled with half his body.
And then he has, like, a bunch of, like, stuff. Like,
straight out of the Matrix.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got, like, a Matrix 5 to it.
Tail and everything, but, I mean, and he didn't even remember anything. He thought he was still in the Citadel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm heartbroken now. I got to go back and watch it, though.
You don't remember that?
No, I was asleep.
Oh, man. He's like, "You came back for me."
And I'm like, oh, my God.
I was like, oh. It was sad. It was,
I was like, dang, this sucks.
I knew you guys were really reacting when it was over, and I was kind of disappointed I fell asleep. And it has nothing to do with the episode being bad. I was totally exhausted.
And jet lag. And we stayed up till 9 at that moment because we were watching shows with each other.
I stayed up. You guys stay up after that anyway. But all right, so Samuel the Hutt, what was some of your favorite moments?
The fact that Obi-Wan knows about Padme.
I know! What the heck was that? That was the beginning.
You were awake for that part.
And I reacted really viscerally to that moment.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Everybody knows. Rex knows.
Not much of a secret.
Anakin knows. Emperor knows. Who else knows?
Basically everyone but the Jedi Council.
Oh my gosh.
That was kind of mind-blowing, though.
Yeah, it was a cool moment, though, when Padme was interacting with Anakin, telling Anakin, you know, basically, you can trust Rex because he knows he's keeping our secret.
Yeah.
And he's protecting you. Maybe you should trust him when he has these ideas, like he's thinking about Echo. You need to trust him, that he his instincts with it and all that kind of stuff. What did you guys think about, like, the pterodactyl things that swoop in?
That's weird. I mean, they were cool. You know, very Star Wars-y.
Looks like they're going to be using this next episode still, so it looks like they're trying to escape off that planet.
That species, though, they talked cool. They had voices.
Yeah.
It's like they had their own voice.
I did, but I'm trying to remember what they were.
Yeah, they were like weird, like almost gargly.
I don't know. Like they had their really cool voice amplifiers.
Very Star Wars-y. I liked it.
Well, we only got, two more episodes in this arc?
So, and then we switch to
Ahsoka,
an Ahsoka arc,
and then
we find out what happens to her.
Yeah.
Then we all tie it up together and do the Siege of Mandalore.
Oh my gosh, and Maul.
Goodness. And, this is going
to
be nuts.
I kind of don't want it to be over. It feels like it's like
going to happen really quick. Everybody at like Disney is saying, this is the final season.
Yeah, they're
like,
making it abundantly clear.
Like, we're not doing it again.
Yeah, that's cool. What, huh? Well, what? If you're gonna interrupt my pause, go.
I'm just saying that they did not say that Rebels was the final season.
I'm hoping they're coming out with a new one.
True. So.
Like saving bees, you should become a beekeeper. Like saving money on auto and renter's insurance, you should call Wawanisa. If you're a good driver, you should pay less money on car insurance. Great rates for good drivers. It's the Wawanisa way. Call 877-WAWANESA.
Well, Star Wars is all about the Jedi and the Sith. The mythology and the big heroes are front and center throughout the saga, but Star Wars isn't Star Wars without the bravery, sacrifice, and growth of non-Force users. This week, we're looking at our top five regular peeps.
Regular
peeps in Star Wars.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so, you know, I mean, obviously, there's a galaxy full of non-Force users to choose from for this. So I'm going to leave people out, and we're going to let you have the opportunity in this week's podcast poll of the week coming up to share who you like that's not on our list if you choose to.
That's fair.
But we had to pick five because this show can only go for another 24 minutes. And so I picked four in there. And I'm going to put it in what I chose because I put the show notes together and I make the decisions as to what we're talking about. So
yeah, you do.
I get to put the order of them, and we're going to do it from what I would say is probably, like, we'll go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Is that cool?
Okay.
Like, our top one is the last one. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Are we good? We're saving the best for last?
Yeah.
And
we're counting down.
We're counting down to the number one most important non-Force user.
I have spoken.
This is my decision. So, first one, we've got Poe Dameron. Can't really tell the sequel trilogy without Poe Dameron. I think it's fun to think about the fact that originally he was going to be dead at the beginning of The Force Awakens.
Kind of like Han at the end of
Empire Strikes Back. No. Like, when the TIE fighter crashes on Jakku...
He's dead.
And he was kind of like bummed about it. And he went to JJ.
I would be too.
And he's like, okay, but man.
Can I not be dead?
And he's like, JJ's like, yeah, I think I figured out a way to keep you in the show, in the movie. So came back and let him do it. So
now he's like an integral part.
So let's talk about Poe Dameron for a second. Some of the like moments that are important within him. It's like lessons we can learn from the story of Poe Dameron.
Yeah, like one of the main ones, and this is pretty obvious. You'll see this in The Last Jedi. It's overcoming arrogance. That's pretty much his entire character arc in the Last Jedi. You know, he's off this huge high of blowing up Starkiller Base, so he feels like he can take on the galaxy. So he goes up, there's the Dreadnought, and Leia's telling him, no, come back, you don't do it, it's not worth it. And he's like, no, we got this. So he goes out there, gets, like, most of the bombers destroyed. No, all of the bombers destroyed, I think. Eventually he does take it down, but... Not at what cost?
Right?
Yeah, many casualties, and then he gets slapped in the face by Leia, which was awesome.
How many times did she slap him? Like 30, in the filming,
30 Carrie Fisher. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
they had
awesome.
To do that scene like 30 times.
If I was Carrie Fisher, I would have just kept messing up lines.
I think she probably did
just to get a chance to slap.
That sounds Oscar like something she'd do.
So, anyway.
But. By the end of the episode, or the episode, excuse me, the film. You see Poe, you see Luke out on Crait confronting the entire First Order, and Finn's like, we gotta go out there and get him, we gotta help him, you know? And Poe, after he's kind of matured over this, he's like, no, let's wait, this is his fight, let's let him do his thing. So you see that throughout the film, he kind of overcomes this cocky attitude that he has, and it's a very interesting and important arc.
Storyline.
Yeah.
And you'll see this one in T-Ross, because it's pretty important, and dealing with the failure of his arrogance, I think, this main part. He's now like, well, a lot of the people that I led into this battle are dead, and we've lost most of our fleet, and we're a tiny little outlet on Agent Kloss, and we're basically...
Is that what the name of the planet is? Yeah. I'm so proud of you for knowing that. Thank you for being...
Battlefront 2 playing, we'll do that for you.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
That's cheating.
Yeah, no. That's cool.
But, I mean, he still is pretty arrogant in this one, hyperspace jumping.
Well, I think he kind of, acts arrogant because that's his personality. That's the persona that he's trying to project with it. But if you've read Resistance Reborn, he's reeling throughout the period between The Last Jedi and T-Ross, feeling like a complete failure. He's having to go and tell Snaps about what he did. He's having to tell he tells Wedge and Nora Wexley about what happened, and they're like, people are pissed.
Yeah. And at the end of T-Ross, when everyone's getting killed, including Snaps, and the ships are falling. Yeah. He's like, my friends, this is all my fault. He feels crap, because there's nothing he can do. And then Lando comes in and
saves the day. We'll save Lando for next.
That was a big part, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think that the another big lesson that we see in Poe Dameron's story is going into the third act of The Rise of Skywalker. When Leia has died and he's like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there at her bedside and she's dead. Right? We find out she's not dead yet, because she hasn't become one with the Force yet. But
dissolved.
She's not completely gone yet. But
did the book explain that?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. It's not out.
The dang book.
It's not out yet.
Well, how are people getting it?
Because people got preview copies from some Comic-Con or something.
Lame.
It's like a super small Comic-Con. I don't know how they got it.
I didn't get to go. Nobody sent me
one. Somebody invite us.
Somebody send me a copy, and that'd be awesome. If you finished reading it, send it to me. So, anyway. He's trying to figure it all out, and Lando shows up again. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about, and he's explaining to him that the way that we did it was we did it together. And so then he immediately goes to Finn,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, Finn, I can't do this without you. Yeah. And that is a big moment in Poe Dameron's story, because Poe's always been, I can do this alone. And now he goes back to the one that actually rescued him at the beginning of The Force Awakens and says, I can't do this without you.
Mm-hmm.
With it. So that's a big lesson in humility.
Poetry. Full
poetry. Circle. It's like poetry. It rhymes. Star Wars is that way.
Yeah,
George Lucas said so. All right, next one, Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
So let's talk about his greater arc,
his big arc.
He's got a long arc.
He does
in the galaxy. So
he has a whole comic series dedicated to him.
That's true too.
But he's in Solo and some of Empire. He's always looking out for himself. His number one himself. It's just. Especially
even to the extent of creating his own his own vlog, the Chronicles of Lando Calrissian, Chronicles.
Come on, Dad, get your facts straight.
Yeah, but
tired, so
left with a half beaten up Millennium Falcon.
Lost his co-pilot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then you've even got in Rebels.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's swindling the ghost crew and stealing puffer pigs and.
It's always for himself.
Yeah.
Never looking out for anyone else. Till he joins... there's still a bit of this in Empire, but...
No, there's a lot of it in Empire. That's like his story at the beginning... The first half of his story in The Empire Strikes Back.
But eventually you realize, he's changed slightly because he is running an entire city at this point. So...
Yeah, but why is he running the entire city? Is he doing it out of the goodness of his heart? Or is he a politician who likes power and money, and that's why he's running Cloud City? Just like all the people
about this in election season.
I'm going to go ahead and say, just like all the people, both sides of the aisle, that were on the ballots yesterday on Super Tuesday when we recorded this. Doesn't matter which side of the party, which side of the political persuasion you're on, they want power and they want money.
Yeah,
and that's sort of Lando Calrissian in Cloud City.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why he justifies what he does to Han and Leia and Chewie in that. He justifies the decision because he's going to lose power. The Empire is going to move in. They're going to put a garrison in there. They're going to, you know, he's worked out a deal that's going to keep the Empire out of here with it. And he pretends like it's for the people, but what's it really about?
Oh, yeah,
he's saving his own skin. He's trying to maintain his profit margins with it. But then that moment shifts.
Yeah. You know, eventually he's risking it all for a friend, you know, in Return of the Jedi. He, like, infiltrates Jabba's palace as a guard and, you know, stations there.
And my understanding is, like, in the storyline, he's been there for, like, 6 months as a guard.
You know, which is not an easy feat. And that's, you know, anyone can tell that that's an extremely risky bit, you know, deal there. If you get caught, you know, Sarlacc pit, Rancor, or whatever.
Rancor, yeah.
You know, but, you know, he really does start. That's a very selfless act, you can tell. You know, he risked a lot to save his friend Han.
I mean, I
think he realized his mistakes and is trying to make up for them.
Right. So. And then we get, you know, all the way. Obviously, becomes a general in that movie, and it's sort of everything in Star Wars happens really, really fast when it comes to these kinds of things. Like, suddenly he's gone from the bad guy to flying the Millennium Falcon at the end of Empire Strikes Back to now he's a general. In Return of the Jedi. But we go 30-some years into the future, and he's back again. But I think that the cool lesson for, like, an old guy that's getting ready to have his birthday in a couple of weeks, not as old as Lando Calrissian.
But you're pretty dang old.
Shut up. Anyway, is to think of, he comes back in at the end. He's thinking, like, he can't be involved when we get to we're on Passana. Is that where we're at? Mm-hmm. He's on Passana, and he's like, you know, he saves Rey and Finn and Poe and Chewie and who else is there?
B3PO.
Yeah, like, it's like the whole band is there. He saves them from getting shot by stormtroopers. But then
crossbow, which is cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool thing. And then he doesn't want to get involved. Like, he's like, you know, send Leia my love. I'm staying here. But then he realizes it again. Sort of a replay of that moment. Not looking out for himself. He decides he's going to go back and he's going to help Leia. He's going to go out and help the resistance. And he ends up being the guy that saves the day. Because he's the guy that's able to go and rally the systems for the common people to come. And so I think the final lesson that we learn from Lando Calrissian's life is that you're never too old to make a difference. Right? If you just decide you want to do it. So as an old guy, that's a cool one.
It is cool.
So next one, you can't talk about common people within Star Wars making a huge difference without talking about the one that led the battle, the first victory of the Rebel Alliance, Jyn Erso. With that from Rogue One. So, you know, we start off with her kind of following a lot of ways the similar path as Lando. It's like, it's not my problem. I don't need to get involved. I don't want to be, you know, she's trying to escape.
You know, she feels like she's got it all under control in her mind.
Yeah, and then she's on the, you know, on Yavin 4, and they're asking her for her help, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with it, to some extent. She's trying to hide all about it. She's just trying to stay out of the entire situation. So.
Right. And, I mean, another part in her story is she really never stopped believing in her father, even though he went to the Empire. And
are you trying to tell us something here?
Never stop believing in your dad, the old guy that can still make a difference. So.
No, but he's got, you know, it's true, because she, even though she's heard all these things about her dad and stuff, she still never had lost faith in her.
And that's, like, especially important in that moment when they're in the U-Wing and they're flying to the planets. It's not Scarif, it's the one before that, the base where Galen Erso is.
Edu.
Edu? Anyway.
You right there, Dad?
I don't know. They're flying to Edu, and she's, like, talking about, let's go get my dad, let's save him. I believe in him. She's seen the video. Nobody else believes that she's telling the truth, except for, I think, maybe Chirrut and Bayst. But anyway, they're going out there, and he's got to save the day. So anyway, that's...
Yeah.
That.
you know, and she eventually learned to stop worrying about herself, and she learned to inspire others. You know, like the whole speech at the end before they went off in the Scarif, you know. What was it? One fighter with a sharp stick and saved the day.
Yeah, she's like,
she's doing the...
taking the Saw Gerrera mantle and running with it.
Yeah, inspiring the cause. And you know, if she hadn't been there to do that, I don't think the rest of the rebellion would have happened. Like, they wouldn't have gotten the plans to the Death Star. The movies wouldn't have happened.
Well, and she's, you know, when they're on Yavin 4 and the Council or all the different people within the Alliance, the leaders of the Alliance are meeting, she's making the argument for them to go and take out that base. They have to do something. You have to take out this Death Star. Everybody else is like, no, we're not going to get to do this. It doesn't make sense. We're going to get beaten. She walks back out, and Cassian and a bunch of other soldiers are like, all right, we're with you.
Yeah,
let's go with it. So,
she's very inspiring.
Next one, getting more and more important. I think that our ranking is pretty accurate here. Padme.
Yeah,
Amidala, the Queen of Naboo. I love the beginning of that of her story, where in the Phantom Menace.
I was going to say, you know, I don't think you have this point on here, but you know, Lando is like, you're never too old to make a difference. Well, Padme can be the reverse of that. You're never too young to make a difference. She was the Queen at like 14.
Yeah,
so you know, that's kind of like two sides. Of the same
that is true. Idea. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, and when she's there, she's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
She's an elected leader. I think that's what's important. When we hear queen, we start thinking of like what we hear about today, which is like bloodline and royal stuff like that. And even in the Bible, it's that way. You know, you get 8-year-old kids becoming kings, but they're not elected.
Not by choice. Yeah.
They're thrust into this moment. She's elected. The people have accepted her as the queen. Mm-hmm. And she's a leader. And there's that whole Phantom Menace storyline with her, is she's willing to do whatever she has to do to spare her people, to take care of them, to make sure that they're done. I mean, all the way up to when they get to Coruscant and she realizes that the Senate's not going to do anything about it. And she calls for the vote of no confidence with it, and that's all Sidious's plan up to this point. But then there's that moment where things like go off the rails, I think, for Sidious, for Emperor Palpatine, when
she's like, are we on the wrong side?
No. I'm talking about like when she decides to go back.
Why am I blanking? I'm not following this way.
So she's like, I'm going to go back. Your place is here. I'm on the politicians. I'm going back and I'm going to lead my people out of this.
That's right. She steps down.
Which, you know, everybody's against her on that.
I never really paid much attention to the politics of Star Wars. I've never, you know, been a huge fan. But, you know, it's just this idea of, like, this courage in the face of opposition. You know, everyone was again telling her not to go, and she decided that, you know, it was still what was best for her and her people. So she still, you know, had that sense of duty and stuck with what she believed was right, even when everyone else was telling her it was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and she also has the willingness to admit mistakes. I mean, she did make mistakes. We especially see this in Clone Wars. A lot of politics in that, and I mean, we don't really notice that, and we consider Clone Wars to be great.
No, and then when you get to the Clone Wars, too, you start seeing that where she's, like, starting to question whether or not she's on the right side.
And everything, especially with the Mandalore plot arc. I mean, she's like, this isn't right. The Senate shouldn't be doing this. I held a meeting without you being there about your problem. It's just, she's like, this isn't how it normally should go.
Well, and then there's the moment in Revenge of the Sith.
Mm.
Where she's with Anakin, and she's like, have you ever considered we may be on the wrong side of this whole thing? Which they are.
Yeah.
With it, you know, the Separatists eventually, 20 years later, become... That's the whole Cassian Andor story. His family were Separatists, and now he's a leader in the Rebellion. So, you know, it's that same type of situation.
Yeah.
But you can't talk about Star Wars people that don't have the Force.
Without
the dude, right?
I got a bad feeling about this.
Not really. I've got a good feeling about this. Han Solo. Sorry, I can't do my Mouse Kanata. I'm terribly at that.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Can you try it?
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Neither.
Okay. I'm not a voice actor.
No.
So I mean, what are some things you guys think about when you think about Han Solo? Like who he is.
Like
I mean, I could talk all day about Han Solo, but...
Yeah,
I mean, it's this... He's... You'll notice, even in Solo, he's got this huge loyalty to his friends. You know, he'll kind of put off this front where he just doesn't care about anyone but himself. But inside, you can tell he really loves and cares for all his friends. Was like Kira. Like, he literally joined the Empire just so he could figure out a way to get back to save her.
And he was still, like, what, 8 years later, trying to do the same thing.
It was like 3 years later, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was still trying to do that.
And he sees her, and the first thing he's like is, I'm going to get this score so I can get you.
Yeah.
You know, so I can save you. That's what the whole point of this score was with that.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still, even when he's horribly betrayed by her and Beckett and everything, you know, he's still... comes around and still cares about everyone he meets, you know, obviously Chewie, you know, they become great friends, but, you know, Luke and Leia, and, you know, eventually he does grow these really strong bonds and cares for everyone, even though he'll, again, put off this front that, I don't really care about them, you know, it's all about me and Chewie at this point, you know.
So. Yeah, and I think that's what we see in A New Hope, is he's like, I gotta go pay off this Jabba, I gotta go take care of this, you know, Death Mark isn't something that I want to have over me. So he leaves, but he's on his way to Tatooine, and he's like, snap, I gotta turn back and go help these guys out there. And he ends up saving the day and helping Luke with that, because
he really deeply cares about his friends.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he's an internal optimist.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
He's always optimistic about the mission. I mean, in Solo, he's, like, not internal about it. He's always like, I have a great...
Eternal is like, it's never going to get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's always like, I have a great feeling about this and everything. He's always like, woohoo, let's go about this.
This will work just fine.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
although it's funny, because most of the time in the original, you hear him saying, I have a bad feeling about this. But, yeah.
So, he's always like...
But then it's also the never tell me the odds, you know, Leia saying things like, you know, I want to be around sometime when you get this wrong. And that's, and he's like, he says things like, yeah, well, this may be your time, sister, but then he still does it.
Right.
He still goes after it
and
hopes it all works out.
It'll always work out.
Yeah.
And then I think that one of the things we see when we get to the sequel trilogy is just his love for his family. With it, we don't really understand what happened between Han and his own father. We know his father would take him to the shipyards in Corellia.
And I mean, he doesn't even like keeping his last name because of it.
Exactly. So something is definitely there. He tries to break that cycle. He fails at it.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that like horribly emotional moment in The Rise of Skywalker when it's just the memory of him, we know that, but that moment what I would hope would a real Han Solo would have done, trying to do in The Force Awakens.
I'm sure you're going to love to read that.
I cannot wait to read that part of that. So, well, you know, there's we were talking about these things, and we always want to try to tie it in with what we consider is the greater story, that eternal story that's written on our hearts with it. There's some things I wanted to kind of just close out with as we talk about common people within the Star Wars universe. You know, too often we become focused on titles or on position or on wealth, and we forget what's truly important. And I think that the common people within the Star Wars universe, the non-Force users, the non-Jedi, the non-Sith, the non-supernatural people, teach us that they can still have an impact. They can still make a difference, and they can do that through caring, through humility, through you know, loyalty to your friends, through bravery and courage, all of those different types of things. We also put way too much focus on huge accomplishments and forget, you know, those simple actions that are at the heart of, you know, faith and courage and charity and forgiveness, you know, those things that are common with it. Padme's love for Anakin, even though she knows he's flawed. You know that. You can see it with it. Han's constantly messing up and constantly fighting against his desire to try to protect himself, but then always comes through for his friends with it. Lando's, you know, redemption of his own, you know, coming back and trying to save it. So, and then these virtues are what create lasting change in our world. You know, it's not about the supernatural as much as it is about the things that we do on a daily basis. You know, God doesn't need us to make this huge difference. You know, we think of it like the planet, you know, climate change, right? And you've got all this. And it's our responsibility to save the planet. I think it's our responsibility to steward the planet. I think it's our responsibility to be to take care of it. But the planet's not going to go away. God says in at the, you know, if you come from a biblical perspective, again, we do. After the flood, he says that these things are going to continue until the end of time. Summer and winter and harvest and seasons and that it's not going to change with it. And, you know, we think about climate change and we think about all this. We got to save the planet. We don't need to save the planet. What we should probably be focusing on is saving that little six-year-old girl that I saw in her little hut in this village in Nicaragua who was bathing in sewage right before we walked in. Let's fix that. Mm-hmm. Let's stop worrying about, I mean, climate change. I'm not trying to say that things aren't important, like taking care of the environment. What I'm saying is let's focus in on the small things. Let's give that girl some food. Mm-hmm. Let's give that girl some education. Let's do those types of things.
Let's help the people.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, that's what the one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? What is he asking from you? Except for you to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's our responsibility with it. And then let the rest of the stuff take itself, take care of itself. So, all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's an unofficial, to preface it with this, unofficial Star Wars Battlefront 2 mod that adds Baby Yoda to the fray.
Oh my gosh. Have you guys gotten this? Or how do you get these mods?
It's got to be
PC. It's got to be PC.
But what it does is it's essentially just a reskin
of BB-8.
BB-8.
Oh, wow.
Or it's Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda in his little pod. So the body of BB-8 becomes the pod, and the head of Baby Yoda is the head of
BB-8. What's his powers and stuff
like that? The same as BB-8.
Oh,
but okay. It's just a new reskin. So it looks like Baby Yoda's
flying. It looks like him. It's pretty funny. But
it's good.
Yeah.
Star Wars confirms how Palpatine returned in The Rise of Skywalker. And this was one where Rick first let me know, because he was on Tumbling Sabering, posted this, and I was really surprised by how he returned, and apparently it's a clone body of him that had his spirit put inside it.
This is straight out of the Dark Empire storyline.
And I thought that it would have been maybe expanded on in the novelization, but they didn't really expand on it a lot.
Really? So they're not expanding on it much at all?
Not that I've known. Except Rick did also say that there's something that he won't reveal unless it's already been revealed.
Oh.
And it's a cool little nugget about him, but he
so that comes out, in a couple weeks? The Rise of Skywalker novelization? Yeah. I need to get that for my birthday.
Yeah, but we were... So. Yeah.
And then the last one. Star Wars Exegol could be a featured movie in the works. An Exegol planet. So here's really what happened. Someone talked about a new feature movie that they're preparing on, but the person that commented on it, off the record, I don't know if they were named or not, said that the secrets of what that feature are hidden in Exegol, meaning they're hidden. Nobody's talking about it. It's that kind of a secret.
Right.
That the Sith have existed for 1,000 years on a planet. That kind of a secret. Not necessarily that the feature is going to be about Exegol,
right?
But my question would be: Do you guys want to learn more about Exegol and the Sith and what's been happening on that?
I would love to see a Sith focused movie. That would be different.
I mean, we're about to go into that High Republic, which is going to focus on not the origins of the Jedi, but more of the lore of the Jedi. So I think it'd be cool if we gave the Sith the same treatment.
There we go. Yeah, I think so too. So, all right, let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week. I will make sure when I upload this podcast
put
the Twitter. I'll go to the Twitter and we'll see.
Please don't.
Who's your favorite non-Force user in Star Wars? Now, again, not Star Wars. I typed that wrong.
Star Wars.
It says Star Wars.
Star Wars.
It's
like we're back in Chicago.
Who's your favorite non-Force user in the Star Wars? You know what I'm talking about here. So we'll do it like this the rest of the way. All right. So I can only put 3 names on there if I want another comment below. And we had 5, so I had to take 2 off. All right. So we got ourselves a Han Solo, because you got to have Han on there. You know what I'm talking about. You know,
it's like Rocky.
You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. So then we got Padme Amidala. Yeah, she's a pretty important lady. She's Luke and Leia's mama, from what I understand. And then we got Jyn Erso. She's a tough lady.
So, tough cookie.
touches a tough cookie. Yeah, and then we got other comment below. Who would you pick between those three, or would you pick somebody different?
I'm tied between Din Djarin and Boba Fett.
Just because they're Mandalorian?
No, because they're both cool.
They're both cool. Okay, what about you, Samuel? Or BB Nate?
I'm tied between BB-8 or Opie Pit.
Or Turbis!
Yeah, actually, but all three of those.
Neither one of yours were human, so if you're going to do that, you have to go with
Turbis. None of them were human.
You have to go with Turbis the Pork. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We do appreciate it. And please subscribe on the podcast service that you are listening to us on. It really does make a big difference. Mash that subscribe button down. Let's go. Mash it down. Then go over to Facebook and like us there. Go over to Twitter and like us there. And we're not doing anything
else. Make sure to give us reviews.
And give us some reviews, yeah. Please. We need reviews. We're so sad when we don't have reviews to read.
Okay, man.
Yeah, cool. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, it's actually my lawn that needs help.
No problem. Try this grass seed.
Okay, sounds good.
And some fertilizer. And of course, a soil enhancer. Try these to start.
To start?
Lawn care doesn't have to be complicated. With everything you need for a lush, healthy lawn all in one bag, Pennington Lawn Booster gives you quicker, thicker, greener grass guaranteed. Pick up a bag of Lawn Booster today at the Home Depot.
So who's the pro for your lawn? If you're like me, look no further than yourself. I made my beautiful lawn from great seed, a lot of pride, and even less water than you think. And did it all with Pennington Smart Seed. You see, Smart Seed is a premium seed bred to be drought resistant, so you'll use 30% less water for the entire life of your lawn. So to those who'd say the grass is greener on the other side, I politely disagree. Just look at my lawn. Pennington Smart Seed. Guaranteed to grow. Reclaim your turf.